are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can giving up a second thought about you now. Ghetto people,
who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me, people, you gotta take a look at yourself. Ghetto people,
where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Tell me what your life is.
What's with your life? Running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You got to learn to love yourself. Ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshie. I hope I'm being heard. It doesn't look like on my computer screen that I'm being heard. But if I am, would somebody please text me or call? The number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I had some technical difficulties. That's why I came on a little late. And I hope that I'm being heard. If somebody would do me that favor, if you're listening, give a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives at timeforawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green line with African Post, and you click onto that, and you follow that, and you'll get the programs that are dated and titled from previous recordings. Also on Time for an Awakening on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming, and I'm going to give it all Eastern times, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365, and that's on from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank.
Being recorded.
Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. I got a caller. Caller 604, 604. Good morning.
Yeah, Oshie, you good?
I'm good. All right, Jay. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, brother. I appreciate
you
being on the phone.
All right.
Thank you. I had some issues and some problems. I didn't know if I was being heard, and now I realize that, and I know that, and I'm good. And so let's continue the program. So like I said, once again, I'm starting out a little late because of technical difficulties. That's why I was concerned if I was being heard or not. But I think everything is all good, and let's roll. Once I want to put some good information out today, as always. At least I try, brothers and sisters. Believe me, it's in my heart and in my soul, in my spirit, to try my best to put something on the minds of African people every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And you adjust the times wherever you are, but I'm trying my best to do something to help raise the consciousness of our people. Dr. Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank on Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Then on Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. And then on Fridays, today, this evening, Friday, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow, Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it is Revive once again with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, it is Time for an Awakening once again at 7 p.m. on Sundays. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. You can give us your comments, questions, or concerns, or just give us your African perspective. We Buy Black, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from WeBuyBlack.com. And a friend of mine is in town and went out to the Greenbrier Mall, and she racked up. She bought black.
from WeBuyBlack.com. Brother Lamar, I want to thank you. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. It's the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses. And as I said, if you're in the Atlanta area, just go to the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk right across from the other place I mentioned, and that is Medu Bookstore. Exactly. They're in that same area. And, okay, so let's continue on. We got Brother Bomani Tahimbe, africansforthe africans.org, africaforthe africans.org. Go on that website to check out the upcoming tour, May tour of 2019, and how you can be a part of it. Go to his website if you want to see pictures of the previous tours, facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see video of those previous tours, youtube.com/Bomani2007. africaforthe africans.org. And the number to call is 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Books. Books. Books for brothers and sisters we need to read. That's right. And the place, one place to go if you're in the Atlanta area is Shrine of the Black Madonna. They have books. They're in the West End, but not only that, they have furniture, they have clothing, they have artwork, they have all the things. They have the red, black, and green shoes that if you see me in a casual sense, I'll have them on. I will always have them on. And the only thing I'm going to wear for the rest of my life, I'm serious. You know, I'm going to always represent the colors. You know that. And the shrine. Also, they have a class on Saturdays, every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. And it's free and open to the public at the Shrine of Black Madonna. Know thyself. Also, too, if you don't want to take the class, but you want that information, it's there for you. They have the multimedia library. Over 4.5 terabytes of enlightenment of African history that will be available to you. Outstanding. All the research that you can need is that you're going to, it's going to be at your fingertips. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books, all of that at your disposal. And you can get that at the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Also, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, like I said, that is near the kiosk where we have We Buy Black. Right near We Buy Black, so it's right there. And so if they don't have the book that you want, believe me, they'll get it for you. Also, too, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, good brother Jamu. And there is light in the Black Dot. They have the green, red, black, and green shoes. They have the new white ones. And I'm going to get a pair and slides, all kind of good stuff. And, of course, if they don't have the book that you want, they will order the green, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. There is light in the Black Dot. Us Lifting Us, Ulu. The Ulu broadcast every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio at 9 p.m. Sister Nanana and Baba Kambizi did an outstanding job of explaining the importance of being a part of Ulu and how it's going to help our people. And the number to call every Thursday night, the call-in number is 929-477-2789. You can call just to listen. You don't have to call in to participate, but if you want to, you press number one, and that'll put you into the numbers to make your comment or concern about Us Lifting Us if you have a question. And the number, once again, to call is 929-477-2789 for Us Lifting Us. Also, too, Ambrosia. Ambrosia is served at our cafe, Cafe Ulu. We put our monies together to create the cafe. And that is cafeulu.com. You can go and check out what we're offering, the delicious coffees that we're serving, from the coffees from Tanzania, Cameroon, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee began. Also coffees from other parts of the world, in Panama, Nicaragua. And we sell loose teas, which are produced by us. Everything at our cafe is produced by us. And one of the things that we sell and promote is Ambrosia. Brother Novak Young, and he developed this delicious vitality drink of ambrosia, which has alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, chlorophyll, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, spirulina. There's four different varieties. There's the original, which is also known as sorrel, made with red hibiscus flowers. And there's the bite, the same as the original, but it tastes, but it got extra ginger in it for you. There's the cinnamon, brewed in cinnamon for a spicier taste. Then there's the gold, made with yellow hibiscus flowers, aloe vera, and cayenne. And then there's the green, the same formula as the gold, but combined with the superfood spirulina. So check it out. Go online to CompleteOneBeauty.com. CompleteOneBeauty.com. Brother Novak Young. I'm going to always promote my good friend and brother Baba Mawali Mabrudi for his work. He has a presentation coming up, The Elements of Warriorhood. And that's going to be Saturday, January 19th, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at Wadada Healthy Market and Juice Bar, 878 Ralph David Abernathy, once again in the West End. Ralph David Abernathy, Elements of Warriorhood. And his lovely wife, Yabarudi, Mama Yabarudi, she'll be presenting for African Sisters Only, Discussions Navigating the Challenges of African Womanhood. They'll be featuring yoga with Mama Yami and a sister circle. So that is Saturday, February 2nd, from 5 to 9. That is also at Wadada Healthy Market and Juice Bar, 878 Ralph David Abernathy. And the celebration of 20 years of the Akabin Institute and Akabin House. That's going to be Saturday, March 2nd at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway. That's still in the West End area. And that's going to be Saturday, March 8th. So check that out. Next week, Saturday, at the Auburn Avenue Research Library on American and African Cultural and History, they have Follow the Drinking Gourd to Atlanta, Practices for Teaching Children and Youth. And that's going to be at the Auburn Avenue Library and Research Library. And I can't wait for that to happen. It's going to be a dynamic program. I appreciate Brother Anthony Browder is going to be there, Dr. Chiki Akua, Kilby Kenderson, Sister Dr. Joyce King. It is the Auburn Avenue Library in collaboration with a Black Education Network, a Black Education, ABAN. ABAN will host this 2019 regional conference following the Drinking Gourd to Atlanta, Practices for Successful Teaching Children and Youth of African Ancestry. The conference will feature presentations delivered by national experts in American African education arena. The presentations will cover a wide range of topics, including an urgent community conversation about the intersection of gentrification and urban education reform. The conference will culminate with the inaugural recognition, the Water Carey Award, which will be presented to Hattie Dorsey and Marlon Tillman. So my good friend, Brother Baba Chiki Akua, and I look to have him on the program. Like I say, Dr. Joyce King will be on there, and there's other people besides Anthony Browder, but it's going to be an outstanding presentation from ABAN, a Black Education Network, ABAN. Okay? And that's next week, Saturday, 101 Auburn Avenue. 101 Auburn Avenue. There has been a passing in the conscious community. Baba Kobe Kambong, who is an educator of an African psychology at FAMU, has made his transition. And I'm going to read in the Inyesesim of Revolutionary Thought. he has, Baba Baruti has put one in here of him, and that is October 7th. October 7th. Our ancestors courageously fought back against the barbaric destroyers of African life, and we, their descendants, have and continue to shamefully dishonor them, our African cultural sovereignty, by forming this intimate association with the religious belief systems and cultural structures of the enemies of our ancestors, the enemies of African people, hence our own enemies. Baba Kobi Kambang. It is incredible how the progenitors of European cultural conveniently redefined the African to suit their agenda. This is exactly what they did and are still doing to classical African civilization. When they cannot dismiss original African thought, behavior, or material technological mastery, they systematically deny that African-centered thought and behavior and European-centered thought and behavior are different or incompatible. It is simply reduced to human thought, with them being the defining universal idea. We are erroneously and ahistorically operating on the unavoidable progression principle that European culture is the natural culmination of the best that human culture has to offer. Oh, man, that's deep. Because the show ain't. Little could be furthest from the truth. European culture hindrance arrested or destroyed every culture it encountered. Let me read that again. You have to understand this is true. That's why they say in their mind, and they've told us that they have brought culture through. No, they have not. They have brought death, domination, and destruction. Little could be further from the truth. European culture hindrance arrested or destroyed every culture it encountered. It was a process of destruction and pillage, not contributions or improvement through infusion. Affirm, I have not forgotten who we are. Affirm, I have not forgotten who we are. That's October 7th, Baba Kobi Kambang. His homegoing is Wednesday, June 9th at 10 a.m. FAMU Perry Page Auditorium. At the FAMU Perry Page Auditorium, 1740 South MLK Boulevard at 10 a.m. I want to read to you what Baba Dr. Conrad Worrell had said about Brother Kobi Kambang, and I think that is a good piece. Baba Kobi Kambang, I've heard him speak. I really didn't know him. I know Conrad real well. I was a member of the National Black United Front when he was the chairperson. Now it's Kofi Taharka, but all good people, all beautiful people, you know. And so I know that Brother Conrad, and I have much love and much respect for him, and he had called me to tell me about Brother Kobi Kambang, and so I'm hoping that I have that right here. I'm looking forward now because I want to, because he put a pretty much talked about how Brother Kobi Kambang, even though you have brothers and sisters who are in the halls of quote academia at various universities, he was at FAMU, you know, and but yet still. Let me do it this way here. And, okay. So let me do it this way. I'm going to pull this from what Brother Conrad pulled out here. On Monday, December 31st, 2018, Dr. Kobi Kambang made his transition to eternity. Dr. Kambang was a dear friend and a colleague in the African Liberation Movement worldwide. Dr. Kambang was born November 29, 1943, in Jasper, Alabama. The family has tentatively indicated this service will be held on the 9th in Tallahassee at FAMU. And I read that to you. Dr. Kimbong was a retired distinguished professor of psychology at FAMU. Dr. Kimbong provided leadership in developing the only psychology department known to have an African-centered thrust in its overall training program during his tenure. He is internationally known and recognized scholar in the area of African and American African psychology, specializing in African personality, mental health, and cultural oppression. Dr. Kimbong was a very dear friend to the African community of Chicago, where he was mentored by the late Dr. Bobby Wright and the late Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Baba Jetty. His written works in the field of African-centered psychology are groundbreaking and provides a path of study for the next generation of African people entering the field of psychology. Dr. Kimbong, early in his career, was one of the Career Opportunities Program, COP. The COP program laid the foundation for the development of the undergraduate major in inner city studies. This program provided a path for hundreds of American African teacher aides in the early 1970s to obtain an undergrad degree in inner city studies and became certified teachers in the Chicago public school system. There is no question that Dr. Kobe Kimbong was a pan-Africanist, nationalist, African-centered freedom fighter who used his considerable intellect and skills to advance the cause of African liberation worldwide. We will miss him deeply, but his spirit will remain in our hearts, and we will call his name regularly as he now joins the ancestors. For details on his service, and I read that to you, I gave you that information, on the 9th, he will be memorialized on the 9th, Brother Kobe Kimbong. Yesterday, January 3rd, we must prove our predictions about the future with action, George Jackson. We must prove our predictions about the future with action. The direction we choose to look is an excellent rod for measuring the tenor of our movement as revolutionaries. In that, following the European way unquestionably moves us toward African insanity. The more distance from it we see ourselves, the more victorious we should feel. The more deranged and repulsed their behavior and the behavior of those who follow them appears to our senses, the more clearly we see that they can never make us them. The more determined we become to be African, following the way of our ancestors, the more we feel need to advance towards spiritual, physical, psychic separation from Europeans. The more we see ourselves and see by them as their opposition, the more we know we are moving away from them and not just from ourselves. The more others try to define us as backward and out of touch with reality, the more we know we are moving in the right direction, because we know we are not standing still as they progress back to their traditions. Seeing only their movement or not seeing ours is the grand delusion that has so many revolutionaries transfixed by the terror of inevitable failure. Those among us who become confused by this simply do not see that we are moving too. And that is the key to victorious thinking. In understanding this, we must know that the more rapidly Europeans and their cultural clones move away from us, the more we know we are on the right, because we are moving away from them even more rapidly. I know I have. Affirm. I'm proving my predictions about the future. If we want to have that future, we must work towards it. We must move in that direction. January 4th. A wise man knows, Proverbs reconciles difficulties. A wise man knows, Proverbs reconciles difficulties. A Yoruba proverb. The normal method by which wisdom is intergenerationally transferred in African society is oral. It travels from mind to mind and heart to heart through proverbs, stories, riddles, sayings, through the spoken word. Information, knowledge, and wisdom are passed on in every effort to make the developing individual think better. Proverbs are the thoughts of a people or an ethnic group within that people, which is still that people. They reflect the people's culminated wisdom about life, reality, and divinity. African warriors must give thought to the depth of mind that evolves from having to think and converse in proverbs. For proverbs both exercise and massage the mind, continuously and progressively challenging it to produce higher levels of thinking about even the most mundane things. We must also realize that proverbs are the product of a calm, settled, thoughtful people. They come from a people who have and who easily take the time to think about enduring thoughts gathered across lifetimes. It is the art of continuously thinking because each aphorism surfaces for deeper consideration thousands of times over a person's lifetime. Unlike logic, which can easily be used for evil, to suppress or humiliate, or good, proverbs are designed for good. Their intent is honest development of the individual, which is understood in a communal, obligatory society to the benefit to all in that community, for the benefit of all. Affirm, I learn and teach wisely. Affirm, I learn and teach wisely. Brothers and sisters, I once again want to say I apologize about the technical difficulties. And that's the last apology, because there's nothing I could do about it. You know, believe me, I wanted to start on time, and because that's what we should always try to do, is be on time. You know, I know that in ancient Kemet, when they charted the heavens, you know, when they laid the calendar down, like I said, this is not 2019. This is the year, by the Kemetic calendar, the year 6,259, probably 58, because I think the Kemetic calendar starts in the spring, which is logical. So I would say maybe March, April, it'll be 6,259, but we'll just go with that number. And there's some dispute, too, about that, but there's no denying that the calendar was created by us, and that is the calendar. It is definitely 6,200 and something, that's for sure. So we can debate on that all that y'all want, but we'll go with that, okay? Right on. And so, being that is the time for us, we need to look at, instead of using whatever Europeans have imposed upon us, to reject those things and come back to our way. Come back to the African way. We are African warriors. And that African warriorhood must be exemplified. You know, I often read Baba Baruti's comments, a lot of stuff that he has, because this is what this program is about. The program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. So if that is the case, and it is, then I want to bring forth information that leads us in that direction. I want to highlight individuals that spoke about that. I want to give reverence and praise and accolades to individuals, men and women, who have without any fear, spoke this special truth. And so we must understand that. That's what we're about. We are sovereign-seeking warriors. The successful outcome of any nationalist movement is sovereignty for the people. Being sovereign means having absolute control over the life of the nation. Right now, as always, for African people, sovereignty is measured by how intelligently, independently, and powerfully we control our resources, story, culture, time, space, and destiny. It is to have the power within the nation to control our lives and control them in our best interest, regardless of opposition from outside. Accordingly, being sovereign has to mean that there is no one beyond us who makes any decisions about how we rule ourselves, how we live, what we believe, how we deal with enemies, whether they're outside of us or those traitors inside of us, and how we visualize our future and communicate and express that vision. It means that we are completely and consciously self-defining, self-determining, self-empowered, and self-respecting. And since no nation has ever risen to power and stayed there without holding their own tradition sacred, sovereignty necessarily means that we know, respect, and protect and extend in time through every coming generation who we are as a direct reflection of our ancestors. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. That is our end game. That's what we should strive for. Sovereignty is our ultimate goal. That's why Mama Marimba, who is a great friend of Dr. Kobe Kambong, and I talked to her about the brother's transition, and she was very, very distraught, very hurt. She was serious about, and he was serious about African independence, African liberation, self-determination, and sovereignty. Mama Marimba wrote a sovereign interpretation of the Nguza Saba, a sovereigntist interpretation of the Nguza Saba. Umoja, unity, the Pan-Africanist vision of African people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty and constructing an African world order. Another thing, when you look at the Nguza Saba brothers next time, and I love it. You know I do. But there is, the word African is not in the Nguza Saba. They talk about unity and Kujichagulia and Ujima and Ujamaa and Nia and Kumba and creativity, but the word African, check it out next time. But this is an African sovereigntist interpretation. So the word African is very important in terms of what we are striving for. In unity and Pan-Africanist vision, not just people. No, it's a Pan-Africanist vision of people throughout the world joining forces to fight for African sovereignty. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as an African people. Self-determination. Kujichagulia. African people defining ourselves and determining our own destiny as a sovereign African people. Ujima, collective responsibility. African people working together, being responsible to and for each other, and accepting a common system of accountability. Ujamaa, familyhood. Creating economic cooperatives based on the concept of African familyhood, interdependence, interrelationships, and community, national and global African unity, national and global African unity. NIA, purpose. African people sharing common goals that determine our commitments and our guides, our choices, and our decisions. This gives sacred purpose to our lives and to our work and tells us why we have chosen to be born Africa. Let me say this. I wasn't born in Africa, but Africa sure was born in me. Kumba, creativity, to think with African minds and create from our African center. When we practice this principle, we no longer imitate non-Africans. We find and return to our own way, the way of our ancestors. Imani, faith, to believe in the vision of African sovereignty and to have the passion and the will, the heart, to bring it into being. That's what we should be talking about when we talk about African sovereignty, when we talk about in the time of Kwanzaa, instead of just giving a generic definition of the principles, we need to infuse this African sovereignty mandate into the Nguza Saba. The rule, the warrior rules, to be a warrior. I will not be contradictory. These are the, if you are an African warrior, this is who and what you are. And you should pledge to this. To me, this is what all our people should pledge to. I will not be contradictory. What I think will be exactly what I say, and what I say will be exactly what I do. I will uncompromisingly be who I think and who I am, who I say I am. No contradictions. Number two, I will love and build with African persons of goodwill and character. Number three, I will distinguish my wants from my needs and never emphasize the material above the mental and the spiritual. Number four, I will learn and teach our children our story, our way. I will help them see and understand their power and their personal responsibility to us in the best interest of African people. I will rear them to be African nationalists, African warriors. I will, number five, I will strive to be independent in every possible way and help my fellow warriors to be likewise. Number six, I will respect my body and treat it like the temple it is. I will endeavor to elevate my material skills, my martial arts skills, to their highest potential and always be on guard for myself, my family, community, and my nation. Number seven, I will honor our warrior ancestors only, using them as their finest, as a model of the perfection to which I should aspire and to which we all should aspire. We need to hold those African warriors up, hold those history, those scholars, those warrior scholars, hold them up. Number eight, I will never use derogatory, demeaning language against my brothers and sisters. I will always show them the utmost respect. I will speak to them in the nation, in the nation spirit of family, knowing that we are one and that to curse them is to curse myself. Number nine, I will never confess friend. I will never confuse friend with an enemy and will, without qualifications, treat each accordingly. Number 10, I will live to remove enemies from my people's minds and spaces. I will work to secure all that is ours. Number 11, I will always remember to never forget or never forgive what has been done to African people and do all I know and able to do to stop this menticidal, genocidal process now and never let it happen again. Number 12, I will do all in my power to liberate, empower, and make African people sovereign. The sovereign warrior, the warrior rules. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more. You can join us in this conversation at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You're listening to African Perspectives. Here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to be right back. Stay with us, brothers and sisters.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific. So check us out. If you can't listen live, go to the archives. Go to timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green African. Look for the red, look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed, and click on that, and you can get programs that are dated and titled. Other programs on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds. Right, following right after Acres of Diamonds from 8 to 9, We Buy Black. 365. We Buy Black 365. On Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank, with your host, Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, POC, Proof of Consciousness, and her program, Revive. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmer from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., once again, it's Revive with Sister PLC. And then on Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I picked this one up. Like I said, if you on Facebook, and most of the stuff I get on Facebook is of a revolutionary nature or African-centered nature, Baba Barudi, Baba Renoko, and many others that I get a lot of good stuff from. And but Baba Barudi stuff is I can't wait for the book. But believe me, it is what is necessary. And this is a message. We're talking about warriors. I'm going to get off to something different in a minute. But a message to the warriors. Black nationalists are deeply connected to our spiritual base. Or African sovereignists are deeply connected to our spiritual base. We know that spirit is the foundation and the essence of all existence. We know that spirit is the source of our power. So we place a great emphasis on the appreciation and cultivation of our higher selves. Because the traditions of our ancestors are known to us, we choose spirituality over religion. We are not controlled by man-made religious institutions and tolerate no religious persons who work through the religions others used against us. We submit to spirit alone. We easily obey the order, balance, and peace offered by our higher minds. We control our material and physical appetites because we know that this is self-restraint spiritually, and it disciplines us. It spiritually disciplines us, this self-restraint. Baba Rudy. We need to do that, brothers and sisters. There is nothing that the European offers us that will never do us any good. In fact, Dr. Clark said, everything that we do, the education, everything we do should be about for our liberation. I know that these crackers have a vice grip on our minds. And it is about the mind. That's why I'm saying this program here is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. It is about the mind. They have a vice grip. And if you know that tool, once the vice grip is set, you just can't pull it apart. There's a knob at the end of the handle that you turn that knob to release the tension. By turning that knob means that you are acquiring knowledge of yourself, knowledge in the context of who you are historically and who you are culturally. You're learning about what you have done and who you are. You're learning about how beautiful it is to be who you are.
and you keep learning, and that knob keeps turning until finally you can open it and you can see the Caucasian for who and what they are. But you don't challenge them. We can't reform this. We can't do anything about this. In the minds of the Caucasians, they suffer from cognitive dissonance. That means that they believe that they are superior. They believe that what they are doing is for the good of humanity. They believe that they are universal. Their religion is superior. Everything about them, that's what they believe. And nothing you can say can prove otherwise, even though there's a plethora of evidence to prove otherwise. But we can't. Don't waste the time. Take a deep step back. Take a deep breath. Open your mind. Open your heart. And to be infused with knowledge of self. To be African. To be African. The Kwanzaa season has just passed, and I saw this article from the Chicago Crusader. Once again, my good brother and friend, Dr. Conrad Worrell, or Conrad Worrell. And it's Kwanzaa, the challenges of a new season. It appeared in the Chicago Crusader yesterday, and he's a columnist for the Crusader. So we're going to get off into this, my good friend, Brother Conrad Worrell. As we enter a new Kwanzaa season, we must remind ourselves of the continued challenges that we face. The fundamental issues that Africans here in America must face is centered around the continued assault by the system of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege that keeps us in bondage, servitude, and oftentimes confusion. What is at stake is our survival as a culture, as a group of people, as African people is what is at stake. We must come to grips with the following challenges as we enter a new Kwanzaa season. Family development. There is no question that the American African family is in major disarray and in need of major repair. Without strong African families raising and nurturing our children, the future will remain bleak. Families are the foundation for the survival and development of a people. African men and women need to close ranks and reestablish the tradition of strong African families. Understand something. Our family structure has been under attack since we've been brought here. The Caucasian understands that the foundation of a strong family could be detrimental to them continuing to control who we are. So they've, at various times in the history, have disrupted the family. They've never wanted the African family, to be solid and strong, with other families being likewise and coming together. Economic development. Many American African men and women continue to remind us that we earn in excess of $600 billion a year in this country. And of course, we know that that number in itself. Okay, I appreciate that, my sister. Okay, you're right. The tragedy of this economic potential in the African community in America is that the overwhelming majority of this income we earn, we spend with other people and not with our own. Other people will continue to dominate and maximize profits from our community for their own advancement. When we are going to stop this awful practice of following other people to benefit from the dollars that we earn? Every community has come into our community to set up shop. The Arabs, the Koreans. As a boy, I remember when the shops in my community, I'm from Milwaukee, and I remember the store owners were European Jews. And I remember when they left and we had the stores, they weren't stocked as well as the stores previously. That's a fact. But they were ours. I remember three stores right in my walking distance. And then I remember a supermarket open, but it wasn't ours, unfortunately. I remember that. And then I remember those stores selling out to Arabs, to Koreans, to Indians, and so forth. And that's what's happened all across this country. I will never forget. I attended the NAACP convention in 1980 in Denver, Colorado. I was vice president of the NAACP at the time. Me and my good friend, Brother Muhammad Abdullah. And a brother on the convention floor, in the plenary session, when everybody is there, on the floor, it made an impact on me. And he began to, literally cry about the fact that his community that he loved and he lived in was transforming. And the people in that community, the stores and so forth, were being sold and operated by people outside of our community. And then when I got back to Milwaukee, no sooner than I came back, I saw it happening in my community as well. Until every place, every major city, we don't own the convenience stores, the service stations. Even here, and you would think here in Atlanta, with the so-called, one of the best places for us to live. But see, here in Atlanta and other places for us, we cherish individualism because that is a European Caucasian desire. I'm an individual. Here you have the widest income disparity amongst our people of those of us who have some and those of us who have little or nothing. The widest. And even in those places where we are, in those subdivisions, in those cul-de-sacs, in those gated communities, we don't have nothing that is ours. It would think that those brothers and sisters would come together and say, listen, let's build us a mall down the street so we can employ our young people. Let's build us a mall where there's a store there. There's other stuff there. Others have done it. So the economic development that we have is not really there. It's just money coming to our pocket and immediately going out. Political development. We have often said that politics is the science of who gets what, when, where, and how. And in this regard, we should recognize that the Caucasian power structure and its African allies, the American African allies, or its Negroes, are doing everything possible to rupture our continuing movement for African political empowerment. In electoral politics, the lessons are clear. Personality clashes and individual personality conflicts have no place in the world of politics. The only thing that matters is that that is what is best for African people. If we don't remain unified politically, we will not benefit from our efforts to increase our political power, not only in this country, but in these cities and other places which we live. And to me, when I look at all of these cities, and in each major city, basically, there's a predominance of us. Of course, those numbers are decreasing because of gentrification across this country. Those numbers are decreasing. But if we need to take that step back, take a deep breath, look at it for what it is, close ranks, pull resources, and do for ourselves in every phase. That's why I promote us lifting us, why I believe and understand how important it is for us to do this. But yet, we don't. Cultural development. Why should other people profit from our artistic and creative endeavors? It is clear that we are a creative people with a unique culture of our own. However, in this area, the writers, poets, musicians, dancers, singers, actors, etc., must strive to control what we create. And the entire African community should aggressively support their efforts. That's the point. We don't support. We need to support that. We need to put money into that. We need to make sacrifice to make sure that what we do from an artistic sense is controlled by us. International affairs. We must work harder to support the struggle of our brothers and sisters in Africa, in the Caribbean, in South America, in their continued liberation struggle for land and independence. We must support that. I told you, when Bolsonaro of Brazil now is the president, I fear for our brothers and sisters in Brazil. You think Donald Trump is something. This cracker is something else. He is something else. And because there was never any true safety net for African people or people who are poor, not just African people in Brazil, because I understand, though, there are probably more Africans in Brazil than any country except Nigeria. Now, my good brother and friend, Dr. Renoko Rashidi, says, no, there are more Africans in India. But we also know the politics of India. If you don't, we'll talk about it one day because it's that deep too. And the politics of Brazil is sad and pathetic. Historical disconnect. It appears the more we are obsessed under the system of and oppressed under the system of European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, the more we forget our history, our story. One generation from the next has difficulty remembering our great struggles, battles, and movements. Many people want to talk about that 60s, that's past. I ain't damn it talking about the 60s. I'm talking about the overall struggle for African people, period, through each millennium. From the time that we were the source and people came from far and wide to sit at our feet. That's true. That's real. To the time that we have been fragmented and then in put into captivity. From the time that we still, after being in captivity and our minds are not our own and how we behave and how we act. We need to know from the very beginning to this day and make that connection. I just read to you how important our ancestors are. Harold Cruz points out in his book, The Crises of the Negro Intellectual, the farther the African gets from his historical antecedents in time, the more tenuous becomes his conceptual ties, the emptier his or her social conceptions, the more superficial his vision. It must be clear at this point in history that African people need to determine for ourselves solutions to the many serious problems we face. We should realize going into this so-called new year, but our Kwanzaa season, that no one will do for us what we really need to do for ourselves. No one. Although there could be laws and things that took the chains off our ankles, but no one but ourselves can take them off our minds. This struggle is our struggle for the African mind. It is time we begin providing for ourselves in all areas of life, No longer should we listen and adhere to how other people define us and our struggle. Accomplishing the objective of elevating our struggle to a higher level, we will require that we become more skilled in organizing our communities toward our liberation and freedom. The skill that is necessary is the determination that we wanted to come into being, but also to clearly articulate the end game. And what is the end game? The end game is African sovereignty. The end game is Africans doing for themselves. Now, I understand the hold that this society has on our people. I understand there are many of our people who don't want to hear about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for us as a people. They want to continue to believe that the politics of this society, whether there be a Republican, which is really ridiculous, and a Democrat, which is also really ridiculous, but those two entities that we must work with them and work within them for the betterment of our people. So there'll be inclusion. No inclusion. No inclusion. That's right. There ain't no damn inclusion with them. But that's the deal. We strive for that. We still strive for integration. We still strive for the illusion of inclusion within a society that has shown time and time again to hate us, to despise us. And it has shown that because of it, we hate and despise ourselves. An old African proverb points out, those who are dead have not gone forever. They are in the woman's womb. They are children who whimpers. There are those who are dead have not gone forever. They are in the woman's womb. They are in the children who whimpers. Dr. Conrad Worrell, my good friend, is president, professor emeritus at the Carruthers Center for Inner City Studies, named after Dr. Jacob Carruthers. It was Northeastern Illinois Center for Inner City Studies. And it's located on 71st Street on the south side of Chicago. That's my good brother in that struggle. I see we have a caller. And, oh, we had a caller. Okay. I don't know what happened to my brother, but I'm quite sure he'll call back. At least I hope that he does. Anybody who wants to join this conversation, please do so. Give us a call at.
Yeah, brother.
All right, Jay, what's happening?
Not much, man. You know, unfortunately, a lot of our people deem success working for the daddy.
That's
you
right.
You know, they don't
right.
want to do what you're talking about.
I know they don't. I know they don't.
Coming together collectively, opening up a shopping mall, doing the necessary things to build the institutions. You know, that's why I always laugh at them fraternity and sorority Negroes.
Right.
Because
and that's them.
They got all the skills to be able to do those things. But they so busy pushing for how to get closer to the daddy.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, my brother-in-law, I was talking to him about, you know, sending his daughter to Cuba for medical school.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I got a niece who, that's how she became a doctor, through Cuba medical school.
Yeah.
He told me he would rather have his child get into serious debt than to do that. And he felt as though she was going to be all right because he had a sorority brother that he felt was going to help her, that he was going to be some sort of assistant. Now, you and I both know most of those Negroes don't assist one another at all. They try to make it seem that they do, but if they really did, how the hell would black people be in the condition that they in today?
Ashe, you're right, Jay.
You know what I mean? If we're really going to be honest about it right. and tell the truth about it, black people should not be in the position that they're in today if our so-called muckety-muckster elite are members of an organization.
But see, once again,
that's supposed to be some sort of brotherhood.
Right, but see, once again, Jay.
Well, thank God, them bastards ain't got the good sense to do what they should, because we would really be in more trouble.
But see, Jay, you got to understand. Jay.
The principles of that Greek foolishness.
Jay.
And even make us more insane.
Jay, you got to understand that everything within the society operates for the benefit of Caucasians. Even our so-called institutions operate in benefit of Caucasians. So the sororities and the fraternities, they operate individualistically in benefit to the Caucasians. You know?
For the daddy.
That's right. And so,
I mean, it's absolutely a joke. How could you, they said Booker T said the talent. How could the so-called talented Tim be some of the most ignorant and dumbest Negroes as far as culture building there is? How could you be at the altar of a damn filthy, stinking, no good Greek and talk about you repping something back? Are you Negroes absolutely insane? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just amazed at it. Why don't you put some African principles inside
Well, you're breaking up on me really bad there, Jay. You're breaking up on me really bad, man. I tell you what, why don't you hang up and call me back, bro? Give me that. And I'll take this call, 404-404. Good morning, or good afternoon. 404? Okay. You know what Jay is saying. That's much better, Jay. Let's continue on the conversation. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just absolutely insanity. I mean, we're at this stage right now where, it's sorry to say, we don't really have communities. We don't have neighborhoods. We don't have...
We just have hoods. Jay, we just have hoods. We don't have communities.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't have a neighborhood. We just got a hood. You know, the hood.
And you know, I was just watching a little bit last night and observing on Twitter this whole thing with R. Kelly. We all know that R. Kelly is what he is, a pedophile.
Right. Right.
But it just amazes me, why are we putting this out there for the world to see? Exposing black women's pain and the sickness of a black person so that the Urugu could make money off of it.
Yeah.
Really, seriously.
Yeah.
Is there anything that's gonna change?
No.
Why are you only doing it to him, but there's so many others that it need to be done? Did they ever do it to their basket for 3 nights consecutively, Woody Allen? Did they ever do it to Les Norville? Did they ever do it to Harvey Weinstein? Did they do it to anybody else in the manner in which they're doing it to R. Kelly? Like, he's the first person to ever do this type of behavior.
No.
I mean, it's just...
No, it's not. But see, Jay, once again, they love... The society loves to denigrate and demean and degrade African people, and particularly African men. Now, understand this. He did what he did, and
yes,
he should have been stopped long ago.
That's right.
He should have been stopped long ago.
Those same ones that are attacking him bypass what he did because they enjoyed this music.
That's right. And they went to his concerts.
Anything. because they was making money.
That's
off
right.
of it, because they were being able to benefit from his sickness. They allowed it to keep going. Now when they can't financially benefit off of it, they want to get in that behind.
Right.
Just the way that we do things in our sickness.
When did
white folks' interests.
When did that video come out and circulate in the? I had a hold of the video. Yeah,
now,
me.
I never saw the video, nor would I choose to see it, because you know what? I didn't have to, because I had been around it. I could tell you story about a lot of these entertainers that would blow your mind. You know, because I've been on tours. I've been around them. And they are about as sexual, perverse, and deviant
yes.
than you will ever imagine.
Exactly.
I know what goes on.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Because
I mean, the bottom line is, and I'll say this, if you take 10 of these so-called celebrities, I can guarantee you 7 of them have slept with an underage girl. I can guarantee it. Now, they may not have done it on a continuous basis.
Like R. Kelly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I know for a fact. I've walked in on mm-hmm. entertainers who you know of getting fellatio done by men.
Yeah.
Oh, brother, I could tell you story. The sexual behavior of celebrities is more twisted than
oh, I agree.
Could
yes.
ever imagine. And
yes.
you know why it is? Because it's given in such abundance that you become so twisted. You're always looking for a much deeper and thrilling sexual high. So you'll mess with men. You'll mess with multiple women. You'll do all sorts of things that are on the normal, because you're not exposed to it, you wouldn't do. And that goes for most people mm-hmm. who are given and get a position of power. Let me be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've been around enough of them, and I've only seen one or two of them that I could honestly say wasn't somewhat sexual perverse. I've been around one or two of them, but the rest of them, they would go on tour and sleep with multiple women, be parts of Ozzy. Oh man, it was wild. It
yeah.
was wild.
Well,
I could honestly tell you. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I just think a lot of people, when it comes down to this whole sexual behavior things, are hypocrites, because they will never tell the truth.
Jay.
Let me just leave you with this.
No, hold on, Jay. Jay, they're in a society that is sexually perverse. This is a messed up society, and as a consequence,
right.
we behave that way because we're in it. We have not been able to separate ourselves from it, and not only that, we want to be in it, so therefore we act in that behavior just as if it was dictated to us, and that's why.
Yeah, right. But let me give you a quick one. They talk about this guy John Legend, right? Now let's talk about morality. I don't believe in sleeping with no woman on the first date, even if she wanted to give it to me. That's just my morality. Here it is. This guy, John Legend, gets on there and talks so bad about, you know, R. Kelly and whatever. But he won't say anything about the fact that he slept with his wife on their first date. So basically, what do that tell you about his morality? And he's supposedly a so-called Christian, and what do that tell you about her? So
don't talk to me
about morality, because anytime, and I don't care who it is, anytime you have sex with an individual on your first date, you're immoral, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, then you can take that, because my contention is that I would agree with you. But if there is a connection there, and that's what it is for those two people, and they're adults, because what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own home is their business. I put emphasis on consenting, an emphasis on adults and privacy of the unhung, because I don't want to see that stuff. But I'm going to say to you, Jay, is that those two consenting adults agreed to that arrangement. That's their business. Because to me, hold on, Jay. Here's my point. You can develop a morality in a context of what your beliefs are. This society is amoral. This society has no morals. And so therefore to construct those morals within a context of the society is, to me, is ludicrous to begin with. Because no, this society has none. This society is such a contradiction. There's such deep hypocrisy, you know, that is so systemic and institutionalized that to me, anything and everything goes. You know, I got another caller.
That's what they show.
Yep. I got another caller. 267.
Hey, good morning, Brother Ocean. Good morning to Jay. I got to say to Jay that, you know, I sort of understand where you're coming from as far as that first date thing. But let me tell you something. If you have, this is my personal opinion, and it's only opinion. Don't make it moral law. If you have sex with somebody on that first date without really really wanting a relationship with them, really wanting, just not a shot, then, well, hey, look, that's because some guys can put off that for 90 or 6 months or whatever and sleep with a chick and kick her to the curb. You know, as a father of three daughters, if a man really seriously, and first of all, they're all adults, so they can make up their own mind. I agree with Brother Oshie, but what they do behind closed doors is totally up to them. Long as they are adults, long as they are consenting, and long as you go into that relationship, they don't care if it's sexual or whatever it is, thinking that there's a possibility this could be, you know, this could be a good blossoming relationship, and we can work together. So I don't care if they do it on first date or not. You know what I mean? That doesn't mean nothing. That means they had an instant connection and they felt it. I know plenty of successful marriages that has happened.
Yeah.
You know, the first date, and they have stuck together for 36 years. So I can't say that that's wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, I can't really say that. Well, the thing is, it's based on being an immoral principle of behavior that one should, you know, not practice, but if they do decide to practice, like you said, so be it. But the thing is, I have never met a woman, you know what I mean, and I've done it, that I ever felt anything good about her afterwards. I'm not gonna lie to you. You know what I'm saying? It was just something that happened. You have a good time. And then afterwards, when you go away from it and you think about it, you be saying things to yourself like, am I the first person she done that with? Blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, you just walk away from it. Right. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why I always believe and I laugh when I hear a sister talk about, I got the 90-day rule. I just get a kick out of it. You know what I mean? Crazy. Because the thing is, it don't take you 90 days to figure out if you want to be with a fool or not. It only take you maybe 30 days.
It may not even take you that.
Also, you could know in 2 weeks if you're talking basically every day and you know you're hanging out maybe two or three times a week. If you really wanna be with that, that's some junk somebody that put on you to believe it. But you know, we just live in a very, very twisted society.
And that's the bottom line.
Exactly.
But you know, this is what I really called about. But this is what I really called about. That R. Kelly thing. And I question my life. I mean, my wife's stomach was twisting last night. She couldn't even take the rest of that program, and we had to eventually cut it off because she didn't like it, and I didn't like it. I mean, the whole thing was twisted. But then I got, and Brother Oshie, I know you said we are not each other's You know, we are not our own worst enemy. Mm-hmm. But damn it, some of us are our damn enemy. Because let me tell you something. Anytime these females, knowing the history of this man, I didn't even know the history of this man.
Yeah.
I've heard stuff about that video that I refuse to pick up and see. I don't want to see no shit like that.
I agree.
But let me tell you something. For those women to step in the name of love, to sell out this man's concerts and everything else.
Right.
Man, you got to put the mirror on those so-called females. What the fuck is wrong with them?
I didn't see it, but my daughter saw it, and she said she couldn't take it. You know, she couldn't take these sisters being abused like that and confessing.
From being around it and experiencing it in a sense, it's just a situation where manipulation and enablers feed into trying to feed the sickness of a sick individual. So, you know, it's basically the basis of it. The young girls are confused because, mind you, all of those women that she dealt with were not young.
Stepping in the name of love, brother.
That's a good point, Ralph.
I don't think based on the documentary that there's going to be any type of criminal charges against them. I don't know.
No, Jay.
The only reason I say that is because they done already investigated him when he was on trial before. So I don't know if that's going to happen. Now, is there going to be a backlash in regards to his concerts? And things of that nature, I think it will be. They're going to try and shut him off the radio and things of that nature, which is going to affect his income in a sense, which is, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, that to do it to him, I say, okay, I accept that, but I want you to do it to the others also. Get you on your Google and put his ass through the mill, a.k.a. Woody Allen, a.k.a. Oh, yeah. Harry Weinstein, Les Melville, and the rest of them.
They ain't going to do that to themselves. They're going to do that to us. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, and this was just, and see, that documentary last night was just the that's like, okay, go get them. Because once we could turn these people against them, we got them.
See, I mean, that's always been that way.
Once we can turn the masses against them, we got them.
And see, they didn't. Hold on, gentlemen, Jay. They didn't do that when that video came out years ago.
Thank you.
And you're right. They squashed that whole thing. He was hot. His songs are hot. He was conscious and so forth. Until finally people says, nah, let's really look at this man. Because he's continue. See, if he stopped that behavior, which is, I guess, for some people, particularly in that realm, and they have those kind of resources and notoriety, it is something that is probably he could not stop. You know, that messing with young girls and all this other stuff. Hold on, let me finish. And so what happened was that once he did that and he got, you know, excused from that, so to speak, he continued on. But then more people came out. And then there was a serious boycott of his music. You had other people talking about it. You have other so-called celebrities talking about him and against him. And so you're right. They were not going to be making the money that they had been making off of him. And so then they said, let's truly open wide and expose him for what he has done.
But he did stop the behavior. He did stop the behavior in regards to the young girls underage. Now, he is still, from what they say, messing with the girls that are, let's say, just became legal. You know what I mean? But the whole thing is, it's just sick, man. It's really sick. And you know what he's doing is wrong. Everybody knows that. But it amazes me that you're gonna do him for 3 days, but you won't do nothing to the Urugu. You won't go after none of them.
Yeah.
You allow them to get away with it, but here it is, the brother, you gonna go in overdrive?
I ain't calling him a brother. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't even call him a brother. He's a misguided dark skinned person. You know what I mean? And I will leave it at that.
Yeah.
Could I call him a Negro?
Yeah, you can call him.
Could I call him a Negro?
Yeah, that's a
Sambo or a Coon. Yeah. I can give him that name, but not a brother.
Well, yeah, I don't use those terms, but I got you.
Hotel, both you brothers. Okay. Peace. Yeah.
So, all right, brother. See, look, you have a good weekend.
You
man.
Too, Ralph.
Continue listening on TuneIn, brother.
All right, brother. Appreciate right, man. You, man.
Peace.
You know, the thing about R. Kelly and others, we live in a society, we live in a country and in a world dominated by European influence, dominated by Caucasians, and they have such an adverse society in terms of how they operate. They are, I don't know, the contradictions, the hypocrisy, the hypocrites. I mean, you just name it. It is within that society, and unfortunately, we're in it. And we don't understand how we should be from out of it or separated from it. We go along with it. We act in that fashion and in that behavior. And so this is what's going to continue to happen. And our situation is even worse because we don't have institutions within this society that are ours. You argue about the church and you argue about these sororities and fraternities. Once again, they are societies not for the betterment of us as a people collectively. They are for individuals. The church is for individuals. These groups are for individuals. But individualism is a European Caucasian desire. Their whole idea is about individualism, but communal and collective is an African imperative. It is a must. It is a serious need for us as a people because that's who we are historically and culturally. It wasn't about, me and mine. It was always about us.
you know, I often gave that example of the Caucasian who's in Africa. And he says to the children, a group of children, I want y'all to run this race from this point to that tree down there. And the first one that gets there, they're going to get this whole big basket of goodies for themselves. And to his dislike, the whole group ran there and touched that tree together. Ubuntu. Ubuntu. He said, no. He said, no, we are together. We are one. We work well with each other. But in this society, that doesn't happen that way. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to play one of my favorites from the Kwanzaa season, and it's The Power of Faith from the Seven Principles CDs by Kwame Cobb and Chavin Duka out of Chicago. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. They are ours. We should return to help our brothers and sisters on the continent to control our land, our resources, our lives. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibifahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibifahodia family, have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Be safe.
Every day, from the moment I faith in our hearts when it seems that our lives are falling apart. Dreams from the night follow me when I rise, and my fears bring tears to my eyes. Will our hopes be realized? Will our children is told, there's a power that feels so secure.
We've got to press on.
Okay, let's get this together here.